Hello, happy Monday, happy April. Welcome back to Farewell. I'm your host, Clay Skipper. Today's coach up comes from Catherine May, whose name you might recognize from a previous podcast in which I interviewed her. She's the author of the books Wintering and Enchantment. And in those books, she writes a lot about time and the passing of time and how we mark it. And one of the more common ways we mark it is through ritual. And so Catherine explores the power of ritual in her books, and she also did in conversation with me, and that's what I'm going to be sharing today. A little bonus snippet that was not in the episode. First things first, I think it's important to establish that ritual is different than a routine. You will hear Catherine say this in just a few minutes. She describes the difference as a ritual is routine with intention. So if a routine is a set of steps we often do while on autopilot, a ritual is really about creating an action that allows us to enter consciously into a specific time or rhythm of the day, the week, the month, the year. So on a micro level, this could be a pregame ritual for a athlete. On a macro level, holidays are a type of ritual, obviously. Birthdays are a ritual. New Year's resolutions, those are rituals. So why do I want to talk about rituals? Why do they matter? And why does it matter right now? I bring it up today because today is April 1st, which is kind of crazy. The year is flying by. And I often find that if I don't have rituals that allow me to slow down and check in as the year goes by, and if I don't notice the time passing, it can all just fly without me actually moving closer to the things I care about. I can look up and it can be 6 months later and I'm like, oh, I've made some progress, but not nearly as much progress as I was hoping to because things are just kind of zooming on. As we now have officially turned the corner into spring, I thought it would be useful to hear Catherine's perspective on ritual, how it differs from routine, and how we can all go about finding our own before we get too deep into 2024. You talk in your book a lot about rituals and the power of ritual. What do rituals signify? Why are they important? Why should people think about incorporating them into their lives?
Well, I think I should first say that I was traditionally very resistant to ritual. And I felt like it was this sort of silly, embarrassing thing that was very much to be avoided. But I noticed
how
when
come?
I was researching.
Why did you think that?
I was brought up in like a very secular environment. I think, you know, in my 20s, like I felt like I had to banish all irrationality from my life. Mm. But I also began to feel like something was missing, honestly, and that it was really difficult to make space to process emotions. And I had like no way to mark the key points in my life, like the rites of passage that were so important to me. I didn't have a way to sort of display them to myself almost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I was researching wintering, like I visited Stonehenge at midwinter and various other things and realized that what turning points those rituals can be and how in a really short space of time they open up this space to think, honestly, mm-hmm. and actually to feel. And so I began to really begin, you know, making my own rituals. And for me, it's about marking the progress of the year and marking the key moments in my life. And I think the important thing to say about ritual is that if you've grown up in a church or something like that, you might think of ritual as something that is very fixed, that tells you what to think and do, and that maybe you've resisted that as you've been growing up because it's felt like an imposition. You've been told to feel sad about something at a certain time of year when it hasn't matched your feelings or the other way around. For me, ritual doesn't have to be that at all. I think ritual is a set of actions you do with your body that leaves an open gap for your feelings in that moment to come in. And you bring a different self to it every time. And that self is always welcome in a good ritual.
Hmm. So do you have daily rituals?
I have a small one every morning. I step outside every day. It's one of the first things I do. And I it doesn't take long, but I just breathe the air. Just smell it. Just like you can tell so much about the day just from that little sampling. And that's just, it's just like a little moment that helps to kind of get my feet on the ground before I get into a big hurry about all the things I have to do in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I also now, like, I do mark all of the key points in the year, the equinoxes, the solstices, and other kind of key moments in the year too that feel significant to me.
Mm. What do you see as the relationship between ritual and routine?
I think I don't really like routines. I'm very resistant to routines. I feel like they're an imposition. And I think for that reason, like, I like to choose my rituals, you know, like, mm-hmm. I like to have mm-hmm. some agency in them. But I do think that a ritual can be a routine with intention. You know, like, routines are things that you set up so you don't have to think about them. And that's why they can make things really easy. Like, once you've set up that patterning, you're just like, right, I know this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, and then it's done. Whereas ritual invites us to pay attention to every moment of it and to notice the significances that come up for us during those actions. So in some ways, they're allied because they're about marking kind of set moments. But in other ways, they're the opposite, because actually they're almost, it's pulling your attention back into the room when a life of routine has just let you check out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After I read Wintering, I, you know, you talk about the, I think it's the pagans that are the druids. They mark the seasons, but then they also mark in between the seasons. So that, so I'm doing my math, right? Six times. So it's like every 6 weeks, because if you go from December 21st to March 21st, it can become too big of a chunk of time.
Too big.
And having the
you need that halfway point. Yeah, that's right.
And I started, because of reading
that,
I started doing, well, I just started, like, every 6 weeks, I would try to go through journal entries, and I would just try to, like, sort of mark, okay, what did I learn in this period?
Yeah.
And then what do I sort of want to, you know, set some intentions going forward for the next period?
I interviewed the chief druid, Philip, as he was at the time, Philip Cargon, for Wintering, and he said the thing about those, having those beats in the year, is that if you're having a hard time, you've only ever got a few weeks until the next gathering, the next moment when you know that you'll be soothed. And he said, like, in really dark times, that can just help you to keep going. But he said, and what's interesting is that when you reach those points and look back to the last one, as you kind of naturally do, you can't help but notice how far you've come and how you've changed and what's gone on in that time. And so when life feels very static, it's actually a good way to show yourself that there's still movement, even if it feels glacially slow. And I think that's really beautiful, just having that structure that you can fall back into.
And it gives you a sense of, in psychology, they call it the fresh start effect, where if you're trying, that's why people make so many resolutions now. Granted, they say like 80% of those fail, but the idea that every 6 weeks you have a chance for a fresh start is wonderfully heartening, rather than once every 12 months.
It's like lots of new years, isn't it, going through the year? And because you're having many more, that invites you to be a bit gentler on yourself with the resolutions and maybe a bit more realistic. I mean, I think... Yeah. There's nothing wrong with resolutions, but they're often so unkind and so, like, unacknowledging of who you actually are and how you actually behave.
Do you have advice for someone if they wanted to start a ritual, either on a micro, you know, daily type of ritual, or more macro, like we're talking about the 6 week schedule, how someone could go about? I mean, I know it's very highly personal, but I'm just curious how you would coach someone to think through developing a ritual.
Well, I'd say, first of all, think about what you need from that ritual. Like, what is the thing that you want from it? And so plan the rhythm of those rituals around that. And in terms of the form of it, you get to choose completely. And then, like, if you don't like it, change it. It's fine. There's no liturgy here. You get to pick. Yeah. But the biggest thing I'd say is that it can all feel a little bit silly, first of all, if you're not used to it. That's what I was haunted by.
Yeah.
Like the sense of, like, I'm doing a really weird thing here and I hope my family don't know this.
Yes.
And, like, I can only say you just have to work your way through that discomfort, because it's worth it. And now my family have got used to me doing weird things in the garden.
Yeah.
key points in the year. And they just have to live with that, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, no, like I bring them along with me. And in fact, you know, those things ultimately become celebrations. And that's it's a really nice thing to have many gentle celebrations through the year.
I think my favorite bit in there from Catherine was her quote that a ritual is a set of actions you do with your body that leaves an open gap for your feelings in that moment to come in, and you bring a different self to it every time. So to make this concrete, because that was pretty abstract, I will give you a couple of the rituals I like, one I strive to do daily but often fail to do, and one that I do weekly with more consistency. So the daily one, and I think I might be taking this from a friend of mine, someone I've worked with before, Joe Holder, who's a Nike pro trainer, but it's to take the concept of saying grace and do it before a workout. So you usually think of grace as something you say before a meal, and you usually think of it as being pretty religiously affiliated. But for me, saying it before a workout, I'm not thanking God. I'm more just taking the idea of grace, which is something of a blessing or a setting of intention. And before I work out, I just remind myself, okay, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I feel grateful that I have a body that can move and that can do difficult things. And I want to remember to not be so serious with it and be a little bit playful. It's just getting myself into that joyful and open headspace and reminding myself why I'm doing this and what I'm doing. And I think this highlights, again, the difference between routine and ritual. Routine can help you zone out. And if something becomes routine or a habit, like working out has for me, I can often forget why I'm doing it. And I find that having a ritual allows me to just keep my motivation and my why in the front of my mind and make it a little bit more intentional and conscious. And then a weekly ritual I have is that every Sunday I write myself an email, and then I schedule it to show up in my inbox at 5 a.m. the following Sunday, because Sunday morning is usually when I sit down and read my newsletters. And so what I write in that is just what happened the previous week, sort of a review of how things went, and then what I want to get done for that following week and how I want to approach that, and then just general things I've been thinking about. And I do that because it gives me a way of figuring out what I want to get done and thinking about how I'm going to get done. I think the act of writing that allows me to just commit to it and hold myself accountable to doing it a little bit more concretely. So those are just two examples from my life, and I hope that they illustrate that it doesn't have to be super wacky or woo-woo. And even if it is wacky or woo-woo, I mean, writing a letter to yourself is a little bit wacky. Saying grace before a workout is a little bit wacky. That's okay. The point is just to give yourself something that allows you to marshal the right energy to bring into any given moment. Another way I've heard ritual described that I like is from a Psyche article that I'll put in the show description. And that says ritual is, quote, how you harmonize your life with the rhythms of the world. And I've found that in a crazy busy world, when time can just slip right on by, ritual can give me a sense of actually noticing time's passing and feeling a little bit more grounded in it. So it's not just happening and I'm missing it. If this sounds like something you might be curious to explore, just ask yourself, where in my life could I use some different energy or a bit more presence or intentionality? Have your workouts gotten stale? Are you rushing through all your meals or rushing through all your time with your friends and family? Are you failing to do the things you said you wanted to do over a 3 to 6 month time frame? And if so, is there a ritual you could create that would allow you to enter those things a bit more consciously or intentionally? That's all for today. If you listened to last week's roundtable, you may recall a request from Brad that I will echo here, which is, if you think there's somewhere in your life that would enjoy this episode or one of our previous episodes, please send it to them. That is the best way to support us. Reviews are great, but really word of mouth is probably the most powerful marketing there is. Hope you have a great week. Hope your April gets off to a wonderful start. Hope no one fools you too bad on April Fool's Day. And we'll be back on Thursday with another interview. I will talk to you then. As always, farewell.